What up, what up, what up, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Windy City Podcast. I am your host, Alex Shapiro. We have a very special guest with us today. It's Cam Smith, the host of Bulls pregame and postgame live. You'll see him before and after every Bulls game this season. Cam, thanks for joining me. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. First of all, of course, Alex, thank you for having me on the pod, man. I'm excited to have this conversation and, of course, talk Bulls basketball and just to catch up a little bit on things that have been happening in the city, man. So it's great to be on the show with you. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing great. The one thing I miss though, so Cam and I used to work together at CHSN. He's still at CHSN. I'm at Knott. Every day, Cam Smith would come by our desks and give everybody a fist bump. And that's how I knew, like, right when I met this guy, I was like, Cam Smith is a solid dude, friendly guy. I miss saying hello to you every day. So it is great to see you again. But first off, out the gate, how has the experience of hosting Bulls pre and post gone for you? I know you've done it in the past a little bit, filling in, but like you're the guy now. So how's it feel, dude?
It's surreal, really. I mean, when you work 15 years in the business to get to a certain level and a certain point, you have to continuously pinch yourself. Like, is this real? Is this happening? My journey to this point has been winding and full of ups and downs and failures and successes and disappointments and internal deep thinking, a little bit of depression sprinkled in just because that's what happens in the industry. I know some people listening right now and watching want me to paint a rosy picture and how it's this like, overnight success. It's not that, man. My overnight success took me 15 years to get to this point, but I've been fortunate along the way to have some great opportunities, work with some great people and some great people that have spoken up my name and spoke about my name in rooms that I'm not in. So I'm fortunate for that. And so it's led me here to be a guy from the West Side of Chicago, born and raised, being the host for Chicago Bulls pre and post game. And if I would have told my younger self this, like, yeah, you're not going to make it to the NBA as a player, but you'll make it to the NBA as a broadcaster, I think my younger self would be like, all right, as long as we're in the league, we're good. So that's kind of what I've been living through right now. And just the support that I've gotten from so many people, from my family to a lot of close friends, of course, coworkers at the network, people from the Chicago Bulls that believe in me and my skill set and what I can bring to the broadcast. And of course, the broadcast team, Naomi Gray, Lyndon Johnson, Zach Badger House. Like, there's so many people involved that are supporting me and that have supported me, even going back to last season. Alex, as you mentioned, I jumped in and filled in a handful of games. And so now to officially be the guy alongside Kendall Gill and Casey Johnson, again, like, let me just pinch myself because I have to do those things. So I'm like, wait a minute, this is real. This is one something that I've worked for, but then also something that I for sure I believe that I'll be able to fulfill. So it's been life-changing. I will say that. And I'm not you throwing that out loosely and lightly.
What's it like working with Kendall Gill? Like obviously I've seen him in the hall a few times. Like sometimes we would pass each other in the studio if I was recording something or whatever. I've never shared the desk with the guy. What is it like working with Kendall Gill?
Okay, so not to say that Kendall is on the level of the great Prince, but you've heard those stories about Prince and how he has this aura, right? From watching Chappelle's Show and just other celebrity interviews. And, certain people have like theme songs kind of playing when they walk through. That's Kendall Gill. It's like every time you see him, he has his own theme song playing for himself. And so when you reach that type of level in other people's minds, you're doing something right. And it's not intentional with Kendall. Like, it's just who he is, smooth. Of course, he does his thing with Silver Fox. And, of course, his 15-year NBA career, he's been able to achieve a lot, really, both on and off the court. And so, having that experience of working with Kendall last year, and even before that, to provide a little more context, just in the basketball world in the city of Chicago, and what my job previously was years ago in covering high school basketball, I would see Kendall at games. Like, his son Phoenix, who played at St. Ignatius at the time, would cover his son Phoenix, cover their games, see Kendall in Champaign, where his son and St. Ignatius would play. And so we have a really tight community when it comes to basketball in the city of Chicago and the Chicago area. So you're connected in some ways, almost like a 6 degrees of separation, either like you've played against or played together with someone's brother or sister or uncle or cousin or former head coach or former player. So that's how those paths cross. And so that was the same thing with me and Kendall. So always seeing each other, always speaking with each other. And then when we were joined together last year on the games that I filled in, I'm just like, all right, this is who Kendall is. He's the same guy off TV as he is on TV. And so I think that's always the biggest compliment that you can give anyone in the business is that they're the same person when you see him on TV as as they are off TV. So this experience this year now, and he and I have had our conversations in the green room, watching the game and just the basketball knowledge that he would give me, and we can relate to a certain level because I played Division I basketball at Southern Illinois, and we can go really detailed about certain things and certain plays and situations, even that we saw with the home opener and season opener for the Bulls the other night, is that you can have these nuanced basketball conversations with a guy that has been there, a guy that's done that, and a guy that's celebrated. So it's been fun working with Kendall, man. He has a great sense of humor, just smooth, chill, and just knows his stuff, man. I wouldn't expect and didn't expect anything less from Kendall.
You mentioned all the people and all the work that goes into it, right? Naomi, Badger, Lyndon, like I could go on and on and on. It's a lot of work to put together a pre and post game show. How do you prepare for those shows and for the games?
You know, the great thing about covering basketball and being a basketball player and loving the NBA and just having this affinity for it is that I'm always preparing, watching games. My wife jokes around with me sometimes. She's just like, "Oh, you just want to watch basketball because you love basketball." I'm like, "Yeah, that's true, but it's also business too." So it's a mix of business and pleasure with these things, but more specifically with this Bulls team and this Bulls group. I mean, preparation starts from really day one, even going back to last season, of these storylines that we had coming into the season, of how this team has changed over from the Zach LaVine era, of course, with Josh Giddey and what he was able to do post All-Star break, along with Kobe White, Ildesumo, whose season got cut short, and also the expectation when it comes to Modest Muzelis with year two. So all of that prep is coming back from last season, going into this season, of course, with training camp and media days. So, for example, with the season home opener with this Bulls team, with the Detroit Pistons, prep started nearly 2 weeks ago. Like, that's when I started to get my mind in tune in terms of, okay, matchup wise, health wise, watching the Pistons preseason games, of course, watching the Bulls preseason games, listening to JB Bickerstaff of the Pistons, more importantly, listening to Billy Donovan of the Bulls, the players on this Bulls team, and just start to formulate these ideas and some storylines that I could bring to the table when we have our production meeting. And so the great thing about working with Naomi and Lyndon and Zach is that really it's a team effort. And it goes back to my basketball days. I always believe that sports are a microcosm of life, whether you can have these successes or have these challenges or failures and just learn things about yourself. But ultimately, you will learn work ethic and how to work within a team. And so when we get together, we're throwing ideas out there, trying to see what works for the show so that ultimately it's something that the fans and also the organization can enjoy. And we're truth tellers in this to make sure that we're giving and putting out these stories that fans can relate to, but also really staying in tune and tapped into what this team is. And so along with that, that's part of the prep, but also my individual prep of making sure stats and numbers and all those different things. Like I feel like, you know, Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, like when he goes down to the casino and he's counting cards and you see all the numbers
He
going
goes Rain
around,
Man
like,
mode.
right. Definitely going full Rain Man on that. So my wife knows when I'm in prep mode, and my 8-year-old son kind of understands it now where I'm not as talkative, or I'll just kind of isolate myself to a certain part of the house so I can make sure that everything number wise is down. So it's a continuous prep always for upcoming games and even future games. So the prep is definitely a lot more than what you actually see on television.
No doubt. Okay, I know we don't have much time left, so I'm going to go lightning round questions. All right, real
Okay.
quick. Thoughts on the opener?
Oh my gosh. Electric. Electric. No doubt. Home opener, Detroit Pistons, and some people expected the Bulls not to be as competitive and win that ball game. We understand it. Injuries in the front court, injury to Kobe White. His team showed up and showed out, Alex. So it was electric, an electric atmosphere, an electric win for the Bulls.
Totally. All right. One reason why the Bulls can make the playoffs this year. I'm not talking play in, I'm talking playoffs.
Yeah, man, let's do away with all the play-in stuff, man. And this, when you look at how they played, and I get it, it's one of 82 games. People, I understand it. Alex, you get it. I get it. But if they can bottle that up and try to bring that with them for the majority of the season and try and be consistent with that, then you can talk playoffs. But one of the main reasons is because the Eastern Conference has had so much change. It's wide open, and not wide open to specific teams, wide open for teams that were playing teams last year, like the Bulls, like the Hawks, like the Miami Heat. So a sixth seed for this team is possible. Now, to get there, of course, hopefully the basketball gods bless you with good health. Hopefully you also stack up those wins somewhere between 40 to 42 with this Bulls team. I see them winning between 37 to 40. But if you can get into that spot, then for sure a sixth seed is a reality.
All right, last one, real quick. Reason why the Bulls will cruise to a lottery pick and aren't even going to make that play-in.
You know what? Health is one of the big reasons. Obviously, Kobe White being out for the first couple of weeks and actually being reevaluated in those 2 weeks that we have ahead of ourselves. And Zach Collins will be reevaluated in 4 weeks after undergoing wrist surgery. So I think it will be a combination of lack of health, right? Because when you have that, you have inconsistencies when it comes to rotations, guys not being familiar with being in starting roles, roles expanding, and then just also the rigors of an NBA season. Now, as much as I said, the Eastern Conference is wide open, you still have teams that are going to put forth their effort because they believe they can be a top six team or try and be a team to make it into the East. So even though the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers for some is out of that top six picture, and I can understand that argument, but still you have teams like Atlanta, Orlando, Cleveland, New York, Toronto, who show well in their opener. When you look at what they were able to do against the Atlanta Hawks, these are teams that can be very dangerous. So I think it's that combination that can really prevent this team from having the success of making the playoffs.
He's Cam Smith. Catch him on Bulls pregame live, on postgame live, every Chicago Bulls game. Cam, thank you so much for joining me, man.
I appreciate you. Thanks so much, Alex, man. Keep doing your thing.
Thanks again to Cam Smith for joining the show. Really appreciate his insights both on the Bulls and what it takes to put on that pregame and postgame show. And, the work it takes to become an overnight success. It takes 15 years to become an overnight success. One thing that Cam said really kind of stuck with me. And it was his reason why the Bulls could make the playoffs this year. And he said, it's because the East has changed so much, which kind of implies that the Bulls have stayed the same, right? The narrative kind of this offseason was the Bulls didn't make any moves. They're running in place, right? They held on to Vooch. They extended Giddey. They held on to Kobe White. They held on to Ayo Dosunmu, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. While other teams changed up their rosters, changed up their personnels in order to try and improve in, let's be honest, the weak East. Compared to the West, the East is wide, wide open. But he said, actually, hey, you know what? Everything is so different. Everything is so different. Maybe this gives the Bulls the shot. And it's kind of interesting because you look at the team last night. We're recording this on Thursday, one day after the regular season opener. And Josh Giddey, yes, he has been in that role leading that team as the little triple-double machine after that All-Star break, after the Zach LaVine trade. Ayo Dosunmu coming off the bench, comfortable in that second unit role. Same with Modest Bozelas, who is, expected to take a step forward. All of these guys kind of knew their roles. And yes, Kobe White is out. So the question was, who is going to step up to be the focal point of that offense? Well, what do you know? It was Nikola Vucevic. And Vooch, again, has been that guy before. He hasn't been that guy for a lot of his time with the Chicago Bulls, right? They had DeMar DeRozan, they had Zach LaVine. He was rarely the number one guy, but when they needed him to be the number one guy, he was able to get it done. Now, can the Bulls sustain this? Can they capture this lightning in a bottle, as Cam said, and keep it going while Kobe White returns from his injury? That's to be seen, but it's kind of fun to overreact a little bit after a pretty exciting game, right? Yes, I know the Bulls nearly blew it. 17 turnovers totally didn't help as they threw away a 23-point lead to let the Pistons tie that game with almost no time left in that game. So, yeah, I understand if you're like, wait, this is a team that nearly blew a game against a Pistons team that just didn't have it, right? They just didn't have it, and they still nearly beat the Bulls. I understand, but it is a little bit fun to just overreact to one exciting win in week one. And talking about the one change, there is one change that the Bulls made when they traded Lonzo Ball away. They got Isaac Okoro back. And you look at the numbers, if you look at the box score, oh yeah, 0 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds in 22 and a half minutes. What is this guy doing out there? Well, Okoro also had a plus 17. That was the highest plus minus rating on the team. So obviously he was getting it done on the defensive side. And honestly, that is the one area where the Bulls needed to improve, right? The defense last year, not very good to say the least. So if Okoro, the one change, the one new guy expected to play like significant minutes in this rotation, can help the Bulls clamp down on defense, then maybe, just maybe, the one thing that Bulls fans were raging against, that this team is the same, that the team didn't make any changes. Maybe, like Cam was saying, it's the fact that everybody else changed and the Bulls stayed the same. That could be their ticket to the playoffs. I know we're talking playoffs after game one. Completely reckless. Like, side note, this is reckless talk. Talking about the playoffs after one game when most people, when most experts do not believe this team is going anywhere fast, and will be headed to the lottery, kind of like we discuss later. But interesting thoughts from Cam. So once again, thank you to Cam Smith. Stick around on the other side of this break. We're going to be talking a little bit of Bears, a little bit of Bears news for you. So stick around.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
All right, welcome back. We obviously could not have an episode without a little bit of Bears news. So we have some important injury report updates on this Thursday. There is still one more day to go. The final injury report comes out on Friday. But some big, big updates came on that second injury report. Let's start with the Bears. Tyrique Stevenson did not practice for the second day in a row with his shoulder injury. And Cole Kmet also did not participate for the second day in a row due to his back injury. Now, Cole Kmet is obviously, even if he isn't putting up the numbers, big part of the offense, plays snaps, can play in line, can move out wide or in the slot. He can be a multiple guy, an important piece. But if the Bears don't have Tyrique Stevenson, then they will be very thin at corner. Last week when Stevenson went out, they were left with Nashawn Wright and Nick McCloud, and there was even a moment when Wright got hurt, and the Bears were so thin at cornerback that what they did was they had Nick McCloud playing outside, and they moved Kyler Gordon from slot corner to play on the outside and had special teams ace backup nickel Josh Blackwell come in to play in the slot. So absolutely worth watching whether or not Tyrique Stevenson can go. Now, it's worth saying that Nashawn Wright was upgraded from limited to full. That's big time. If Nashawn Wright can go and if he doesn't have any setbacks, that helps the Bears a lot. But if Stevenson and Nashawn Wright both couldn't go, that could be a tough situation for the Bears. More good news, DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift each did not participate on Wednesday. And those guys were both upgraded to limited participants on Thursday. But honestly, the most important injury news for this game, it's nothing to do with the Chicago Bears. It is the health of Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Lamar Jackson has missed some time. But fortunately for the Ravens, they are coming off their bye. So the Ravens have had a week to get fully healthy. Lamar Jackson has turned in two limited practices on Wednesday and on Thursday, and it certainly seems like Vegas thinks he'll play because odds, depending on where you look, are hovering around a touchdown for the Ravens. That is, the Ravens around a touchdown favorite. I've seen minus seven. I've seen minus 6.5. So Vegas thinks Lamar Jackson is going to play is what that tells me. And if he does, that makes things a lot more difficult for the Chicago Bears defense, just because this guy, you know, is an MVP, played at MVP caliber football. A lot of people thought he should have been the MVP last year when Josh Allen won it. So that is huge. And the other thing that is really, really huge, I heard this coming out of the Ravens beat today on Thursday. Derrick Henry said he spent the bye week getting his mind right. So this is a guy who is one of the best running backs in football still, has not had the season that he wants, especially the past few weeks. Now, the Bears got the job done against Alvin Kamara, who, again, is still a good running back in the NFL, even if he has not had the season he's wanted, especially over the past couple weeks. But before they bottled up Alvin Kamara, the Bears really struggled to stop anybody on the run. They were pretty atrocious through that first few games of the season. They were up to 6 yards per carry. They were giving up 6 yards per carry on the ground. So if the Bears revert back to their old ways and Derrick Henry is like, I got my mind right, I'm ready to go run for 200 yards, and Lamar Jackson is back, it could be trouble for Chicago. So a lot of stuff worth monitoring. What's going on with the Bears cornerbacks? Is Tyreek Stevenson going to be okay? Is Nashawn Wright going to be okay? And then is Lamar Jackson going to be okay? And is Derrick Henry going to have his head and his helmet strapped on tight? And is he about to really just go off on the Bears just because they happen to be the team in the way right now, right? This seems like a bad time to be catching the Baltimore Ravens. Potentially Lamar Jackson getting back, potentially a fresh, revitalized, re-energized Derrick Henry. You know, hey, listen, they're 1-5. The Ravens are 1-5. They're fighting for their lives. Some people might say, oh my God, that was the perfect time to catch the Ravens. They're 1-5. It actually might be the worst time to catch the Ravens because they gotta win. They gotta win on Sunday. So we shall see how it all shakes out. And we will have the post-game breakdown for you. It'll be myself. It'll be Kenneth Davis back. So be sure to subscribe, like, follow, all of those things to make sure that you catch myself and Kenneth Davis talking about that Ravens game right after the game. All right. So until next time, be well, everybody.